Today is the 8th of October 2006. Today we begin again the second course of the popular Buddhism about the divine Buddhist vehicle, Khóa thứ hai, Thiên Chùa Phật Giáo. Before we begin the lesson, we try to recite the name of the Buddha 3 times. Trước khi vào buổi học, mình niệm một lần bổn sư 3 lần. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Nam mô Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Today we come to the lesson number 1, the duties of the household dweller or lay person. Introduction. A household dweller means a lay person, means not an ascetic, a monk or something like this. If we are not a monk, we are a lay person, as long as we are Buddhist. So introduction, what is the duties of the household dweller? Having a position is having duties in society as in Buddhism. That means that wherever you believe, even as a non-Buddhist, just a lay person in the society, we still have some duties toward the family, toward the society, toward the school, toward the communities, things like this. So as a Buddhist, we have also the duties. We have the duties first of a normal person, that is person in the community or in the society. And then beside that, we have also the duties of a Buddhist. So, what are the duties of the Buddhist? Main subjects. What are these duties? Okay. So, what are these duties? We have the duties to the self, to the family, and to the people outside the family. So, basically, these, you know, are recited or are spelled out in the Sigalovada Sutta. Or in Mahayana Buddhism, we found it in the Sutra of the Well-Born, that is in the large Agama. We call them King Thiện Sinh in the Trường A Hàm. Or if you follow the Theravada, we find it in the Sigalovada Sutta. The Sigalovada Sutta is the 31st Sutra of the Digya Nikaya, or the Long Nikaya. So we have the duty to the self, to the family, and to people outside the family. The duty to the self. Duty to the self is to purify the mind, to keep the precepts, and to exercise compassion. 3 things. Purify the mind, and mean we practice. Whenever we practice, you know, we purify our mind. That is, you know, we make our mind become pure. We only learn about that to keep the precept and things like this. Keep the precept. To purify the mind means that, you know, we have to live good. To live good, to practice. And to keep the precepts, like the precept, you know, we have already learned the 5 words. And to exercise compassion, we only learn about that. Compassion or karuna. That is, compassion means that, you know, the love and of all the sentient beings. Okay, now we come to the family and to the out of family. All these, you know, have been spelled out in the sutra. We just said that is, you know, in Theravada, the Sigalovada Sutra, or in Mahayana, the Well-Born Sutra. So the basically, you know, what does this sutra mean? This sutra means the Buddha once, you know, when he was on the street. When he's on the way, he found a young man bowing to the 6 directions. That is, you know, the north, the south, the west, the east, the upper, and the lower. That is, we call the zenith and the nadir. And then the Buddha asked him, young man, why do you bow to this direction? And he said that, well, my father, when he told me, you know, I need to do this. So the Buddha said, but you know, you understand the signification of this? And Sigalo say, no, I don't. But then since my father told me to do it, I just do it. So the Buddha explained to him, what is the meaning of this bowing? Of this bowing, that is, you know, to bow to the north, what does it mean? To bow to the south, what does it mean? To the east, to the west, to the upper part and the lower part. So these are basically the duty to the family, to the people in our relative, and to the people outside of the family. So first, you know, when we bow to the east, this signifies, you know, the duty of the parents to the children, and the children to the parents. See, that is the reason why sometimes we see people, you know, bowing to the fourth direction or to the sixth direction like this, and we don't understand. We say that, oh, you're supposed to bow only to the Buddha or to the statue or something like that. That's not right. So, and bowing to the east, if we are a parent, we have to do the five duties to the children. And if we are a child, we have five duties to the parents. First, if we are a parent, we have to teach the good things. That is, teach the children to do the good things only. And second, to avoid bad friends. Bad friends mean not only the bad, not only avoiding the bad, but a bad acquaintance. Because we take up after other people. If our friends are good, we try to take up after them. And if they are bad, we try to also to take up after them. Third, you know, to push to study. That means that if we have children, we have to make them to be sure that they can learn, that they can study more and more. Because basically, you know, children don't want to, most of them don't want to learn. They don't want to study. They just want to play or to get money, something like this. But because they don't understand that, study, you know, will get them better in life, make them understand better. Get married. I mean that, you know, if we have children, we have to try to get them married. That is, to arrange for the marriage for them. Why? Because see, in the time, you know, we don't go to the extreme. That is, see, sometimes we just arrange for the marriage without consulting the children, which is not right, because you see, the next one is concerned with family matters, the last one. To make the children, you know, get married mean that, you know, to arrange to foresee the future. If they get a bad marriage, we will suffer. They will suffer, of course, but we will suffer also. So then, try not to do to get them a good marriage. And then the last one, to concern with family matters. That is, you know, to ask the children to concern with us. Not, you know, to be like a bossy. Whenever we have something, like to make some decision in the family, we have to consult with them also. Of course, you know, we don't have to listen to them completely, but we have to consult. That is, you know, to be fair. So five duties of a parent to the children. When we bow to the east, to teach them good things, to make them avoid bad friends, to push them to study hard, to arrange for their marriage, and to make them, to consult with them in the family matters. You see, These are very small things nowadays, small matter to us, but in the time of the Buddha, 2,500 years ago, that was a revolution. Because the children are not supposed to consult with the parents and things like this. Now, whenever we bow to the east, if we are a child, we have also some five duties to the parents. To take care of the household. Oh, okay, these are good things. Take care of the household means that, you know, we have to take care, like, you know, the family's house. Because some kids nowadays, you know, just think that, oh, that's their house. I just live there. And then later on, I get my own house and things like this. That's bad, bad. Because that is like an animal, right? When they get big, you know, they just fly away. That's it. So they don't have any duty to the parents. Now take care of the house, home, in that, you know, whenever you see that the house is dirty, you try to clean it up. If you see, you know, something in the house, you know, which needs some chore, we do it happily. The second one, to assure foods. Nowadays, you know, we think that, well, in the United States, you know, we have plenty of foods, we don't worry about it. But in the time or in any other countries or in any time, because you don't know, sometimes you might become poor or you might go into bankrupt. So assured food means that, you know, your parents, your family, the household know we have enough food to eat, because we don't have enough food and we start to beg, to panhandle and something like this. Take care for the old ones. Okay, if your parents, you know, are old, you try not to take care of them. Don't make them, you know, carry heavy things and you just, you know, hang around. So help them with this. Take care for our old ones. Repay while still alive. That means that you, whenever you borrow something, you try to repay, right? So when you were young, the parents, you know, feed you, clothe you, and things like this. So as long as they are still alive, try not to be nice with them. If they ask you to do something, try to help them with that, okay? Because you don't know. They might be dead before you are grown up. And last one, take care of them when they are sick. Okay, nowadays, you know, we have the health insurance and things like this, but a lot of people don't have a health insurance. And whenever they are sick, they have some problem, you try to take care of them. Probably, you know, you can't do much, but then, you know, be at their side to help them and to support them. And if you can, you know, take care of all the health problems, like, you know, if they are home, they cannot work alone, you try to support them, try to clean up, try to take a bath for them, wash them with the wet clothes and things like this. So these are the duties, the five duties of the child to the parents. Now when we bow to the West, Sigalo, you know, bow to the West, he expressed, you know, the duties of a husband to the wife or the wife to a husband. Now if you are not married yet, you might not understand that, but if you sooner or later you get married and you have family, you have a wife or a husband. So the Buddha taught us about the five duties a husband have toward the wife or a wife toward a husband. Now what does a husband have to do to the wife? Keep in mind that this sutra has been taught like 2,500 years ago, at the time when the woman was nothing, right? Was like a slave. You understand, that was the time. But then the Buddha was not like other people. You understand that only. The Buddha taught equality. That is, you know, everyone, you know, is equal. So the husband to the wife, what does the husband have to do to the wife? First, be cheerful. Be cheerful means that, you know, whenever you are in touch with the wife, you cannot not consider them, him, her, you know, like your subordinate or something like that. Do this, do that. Where my food? And things like this. Cannot do it. But you see, in the time of the Buddha, that was natural. That was something, you know, very normal. So be cheerful. That is, you know, in the morning when you wake up, you say, good morning, honey, and things like this. Can you do it? See, this is what we call by positive thinking now. Whenever you're happy, you know, everyone else will be happy. Be cheerful. Second, simple manners. Simple manners, you know, in like, you know, in clothing, in eating, something like this. Because some people, you know, are very demanding. Psychologically speaking, you know, we know that some people who are very demanding, they are like a failure in life. They are scolded by the boss, do something like this. So then, you know, they try, you know, to take advantage of people who are, in a lesser position, right? So then, you know, they try to pick up on the wife, on the children, something like this. That's not good. That's not fair. So then we have simple manners. And besides, you see, whenever we have simple manners, that is, you know, we are not demanding, we make their life happier for everyone. Like, you know, whenever we wake up in the morning, like you kids, you know, sometimes you just say, okay, I eat my cereal, put some cereal in, put some milk in, and that's it, right? You are not demanding, but some husband, you know, might be too demanding. Where's my coffee? And things like this. Well, he can fix the coffee himself. Nowadays we have the coffee maker, right? So then we can put it up himself or something like this. Okay, and don't say that, oh, you have to warm this and this, that. He can warm himself. Or, like, it's simple in the manner. Like, whenever he get out, he have to have this cloth, okay, this shirt or this shoes or something like this. If he want to shine the shoes, you know, he can shine himself. before and said to Simon, why? My shoe's dirty. Why? Come in. Why don't you shine it? And I said like this. Oh, that's not good, right? So you see that be simple, have simple manners. And third, buy clothing and jewelry for wife. That's no big deal. Okay, nowadays if you guys have girlfriends, you try to do that, nobody has to teach you, right? But in the time of the Buddha, that was revolution, right? Why? Because you see, the wife, the women, Muslim country, right? They're not supposed to decorate themselves. They're not supposed to put on some makeup, because if they do, people think, this woman, they try to get some boyfriend or something, right? To get some attention from the other boys or men. So, but then, the Buddha taught them at the time that the husband must buy clothing and jewelry for the wife. That was revolutionary. Why? Because if the woman, feel pretty, she's happier, right? And if she's happier, she's feeling better. She has positive feeling. She's equal, right? So she's happy, and then, a happy woman, make a happy family, right? So you guys remember, whenever you get married, remember to buy clothing and jewelry for the wife, right? And give the wife duties, because in the time, usually men decide everything, and that was not right. And this is not right either today. See, not only because of the equality, but because of the overwork. If you're a husband and then you take care of everything, sooner or later you get crazy. You get overloaded. So give duty to the wife. Okay, you have the checkbook, give it to the wife to take care of that. Why? Because in the time, the wife is considered the internal general. That is, the general in the family. That is, the man, supposed to take care of the outside thing. The peace in Iraq, or the bomb, the nuclear bomb in Korea, or things like this. And the wife, take care of the food, the house, and things like this, right? So then, give the duty to the wife. But then don't be sly, don't give her too many duties. And be faithful, last one. Faithful means, so that was the reason why in the time of the Buddha, usually there was no divorce. Be faithful means that, if you decide you have a wife, try to stick it for life. Why? Because whenever you start a family, you will have children. And the children, most of them don't like to get divorced. Don't like to get divorced parents. Don't like to get, to marry stepmother, stepfather, and then stepsister and things like this. Okay? They don't like to have it. And besides, that will divide the family. In fact, you see, the be faithful, is not only from the husband to the wife and also for the wife to the husband. Because whenever we get divorced or at least a broken house, usually the wealth, the everything, will be broken. That is, you see, the people will go into bankrupt, and then, you don't have enough money to take care of the family, and you get worried or something. Okay, so be faithful. Now the five duties of the wife to the husband. First thing, same. Be cheerful. That is, the women, must be cheerful also. That is, in the morning, wake up and say, good morning, honey, things like this. Prepare, then eat meals together. Okay, that's no big deal, right? But you see, nowadays, that is big deal. Most of us, in this time, we don't eat together anymore. Why did the Buddha taught us to eat the meal together? Because when you eat together, you make friends. You make some connection, some relation. That is the reason whenever you have some relation outside, you invite them to go for lunch or to go for dinner, right? Or at least, you watch on these TV shows and things like this, you see, they meet them at dinner, something like this, to talk about it, to get communication. So whenever we eat together, you communicate with your parents, you communicate with your husband, your wife, everyone in the family. So then prepare and eat meal together. So that is one of the good stimulus to keep us to stay together. See, because if you don't eat together, and most of us don't want to do it nowadays. We have this job, they have the job, all the time, things like that, so we try to avoid each other. And if we try to avoid each other, we don't get connected anymore. Certainly be faithful. That is like a husband to wife, because some women, you know, can, you know, have some thought about men and boy too. Do not talk back and quarrel, the fourth one. That is, you know, whenever the husband, you know, say something, you know, try not to talk back right away. Be quiet. If you want to talk back later. Okay, because whenever we start to talk back right away, well, everything will fly, right? Everything will become broken, things like this. So, assure security before sleeping. Because like we said, the woman is supposed to be the internal general. So she must supposed to take care of the house, right? Third, to the duties to the relatives and friends when we bow to the north. When we bow to the north, you know, we have some duty to the relatives and to the friends. Okay, these are, you know, the same. That is, you know, we have the duty to the friends and the friends have duty to us. So, okay, take attention. Counsel to avoid bad action. If you have friends and or if you have relatives, relatives like you mean your aunt or uncle, things like this, or distant cousins, or your friends only, you have to advise them to avoid bad action, to do bad things. Make them, ask them, you know, or try to teach them to avoid the bad action. Don't frequent this guy, don't do drugs, don't think like this. If you are good friends, because if they are bad friends, they will try to push you to do it. To be helpful with the one in need, that's what you know friends for, right? If some people know are in need, your relative or your friends, try to help them whenever they are in need. Because in our times, you know, we have now social security and things like this. But in the time of the Buddha, there was no social security. So then, you know, people, you know, who are broken or some who are in bankrupt or some don't have enough money, you know, they have to beg to become beggars. So we try to help the one, your friends or relative, who are in need. Like, you know, where in need, you know, they will help us. Do not disclose secret. Very important. That is, if you are real friends, real relatives, you know, you don't tell the secret of other people, of these people to other people. Regular visits. Okay, in the time of the Buddha, there was no cell phone or thing like this. So then they have to visit each other often. Nowadays, you know, we just send a card or something like, you know, at Christmas, we send a bunch of cards saying, keep in touch, okay, have a nice day and things like this. Sometimes we text message or do something like this. But try to keep in touch. That means basically, no regular visit means keep in touch. Your relative the same. If you don't get in touch with them, you know, they will forget you, right? And last one, sharing among friends and relatives. That is the reason why you see we have our neighborhood nowadays. See, sometimes, you know, they just bring you, you know, something. Not only relative and friends, but yeah, that is a good custom, good manners too. Like, you know, when I work, some of my patients, you know, just brought me, you know, some cake, something like this. They bake at home. They say, no, I bake this one. They're really good. You have to taste it. And then give it, okay, thank you. That's it. So whenever you do something good, or you have some good thing, try to share with other people. Right? So in the time, you know, there was like, you know, a custom of putting out parties for the friends and relatives. So sharing among friends and relatives, the 5-1, right? Now, to the fourth. Fourth, okay, we bow to the lower area. Lower area means to the soil. Usually we don't bow to that, but we do. That means that the servants. In the time there was a big discrimination between the owner and the servant. Because in the time there was slavery. You understand that? Most of the people, you know, who work for us, servant, things like this, they are slaves. The fact is that, you know, you can whip them, you can kick them, you can even kill them. That was in the time. That was slavery. And slavery was bad. And it still exists, you know, in the United States until like 2 centuries ago, right? So then you see, and it still exists nowadays, you know, in a lot of countries in the world. You see, slavery exists. So in the time of the Buddha, because the Buddha taught us about equality of every sentient beings, so there must not be any slavery at all. So the duty to the boss to the servant, that's unusual. Okay, the boss does not have any duty to the servant at all. But the Buddha taught us that if you are boss, you have the duty to the servant. What are they? Be aware of the health and the strength of them. That is, you know, if you have servant in the time, you are nowadays, you know, even if you have maids or servants, or if you are boss, you have employees, they're the same. You have to be aware of their health and strength. That is, you know, like if they are like 60 pounds or 70 pounds, you don't ask them to carry a 50 pounds bag of rice, right? And 100 pounds, forget about it. Or do some heavy chores. Try to avoid them to do it. That is compassion. Take care when sick. Nowadays, you know, we have, like you say, Medicaid, you know, social security, so we don't worry much about that. But in the time of the Buddha, there was no hospital. You remember that? When some people were sick, you know, they were taken care of by the family members. And if they cannot take care of them, they just put them outside. So then some neighbors or some passerby, you know, can drop by, you know, and give them some advice. That was how, you know, they were treated at the time. So to take care of them, of these servants when they are sick, is very revolutionary. Because in the time when the slaves were sick, they would be supposed to let to die. That's it. Now, so if you have an employee, a maid, a servant, something like that, you must be aware of them. Whenever they are sick, try to help them with that. Because most of them will not have any health insurance or something. Punish fairly. Punish fairly. Mean that, you know, if they, whenever they do the bad things or they do some mistake, you have to punish, of course. You see? Like, you know, if you do, you have some infraction with the law, you will get in jail or you will get ticket, right? So whenever some people do bad things, even in your family, see? Whenever your parents punish you, that means that you did some bad things. So we have to punish people. Yes, you have to punish them. We have to do the reward, and then you have to punish. Because if you do bad things and you don't get punished, that's unfair. Right? Punish fairly. Mean that, you see, if they make some mistake or something like this, inadvertently. That is, you know, like, you know, I carry some, like, you know, if I'm servant, right? And I carry like 10 plates. And when I work, I slip on some wet floor, and I drop them, and they broke. Now we say, oh, you bad boy! Okay, and then I take the money, you know, out of my salary for all of them. That's not fair, right? But if I carry only one plate, and then I work, you know, on the carpet, I'm not supposed to throw it away. And then if I carry only one plane, and then I try to patrol, you know, to make fun with some other guys or some other girls, and then, you know, I drop the plane, I might have to pay for it, right? So punish fairly means that. Help with the savings. That is very, you know, revolutionary too. Because you remember in the time, you know, servants were like slaves. Nowadays, you know, we are not slaves, but usually the boss will consider us like, as long as you pay you, that's it. Okay, you get payment, that's it. You don't work, you don't get paid. I don't have any relation or any duty toward you. But the Buddha taught us that we have to help them with savings. And you see, the United States is one of the very Buddhist country in the world. Why? Because they have the 401k, right? Yeah. That whenever you go to work, the boss will set you up, you know, with some saving plan. Even, you know, if your boss don't do it, you know, the government, the federal government will take some money from you for the social security, right? That's the tax. That's the help you're saving. You have to save. And they push you to save also. They have the IRA, individual retirement account, or something else. So if you want to save, some people know, see, because probably whenever you're young, you don't understand much about the savings. But old people know, are very scared about that. Because if they don't have savings, they will starve. They will not be able to maintain their living. So they are very afraid of the savings. They are very worried about the savings. So the Buddha taught us at the time that we have to help the servants make some savings. That is, you know, I remember when I was young, and our house, you know, in Hanoi, you know, had some servants in the house, and my grandmother at the time, you know, she didn't pay, you know, the servants all the money, only some, only a little bit, and then keep the rest, you know, in the saving. That is, whenever they go to their village, usually once or twice a year, the servants, you know, will go back to their village to visit their family, and then she gave them, you know, in gold. Because you remember in the time, you know, gold, you know, is like a base of the value, thing like this. So they whenever they go to their village, they get a couple of ounces of gold. That's a lot of money in the time. Because you remember nowadays, you know, 1 ounce of gold to us, you know, no big deal. But in other countries or in other time, 1 ounce of gold, you have to work all the year for that, right? So then, you know, they couldn't have much things. They have the eat, they have the food, they have the clothes, they have the like the shelter, and they have very little money. But then, you know, whenever they go back to their village, at the end of the year, usually during the Tet, they get some money. So then that is the saving, have with saving. That is, you know, the teaching of the Buddha. That is, if you go to work and then, you know, your boss, you know, takes some money, you know, and change it to put in the 401k, thing like this, do it. Because that will help you with the future. And reward impartially. Punish fairly and reward impartially. That is, you know, see, if they do good things, you have to reward them. But if they don't do good things, you still reward them. Because, like, you know, if you have a pretty maid, you want to do, oh, that's not good, right? So, don't be impartial. That is, you know, whenever you reward someone, your servant, your employee, things like that, try to do it fairly. Because if you do it fairly, they will, you know, work, you know, really good for you. And then they don't come back. Okay, so these were the duties of the boss to a servant. Now the servant to the boss. We don't say we are servant nowadays, but most of us, you know, we become employee. That is, you know, our employer. That is, you know, someone we work for. Be punctual, first thing, okay? Because if you are not punctual, you know, well, you understand what I mean. You go to school, you must, you know, be punctual. When you go to work, you have to punch your card and things like this. Not only because, you know, they want to be sure that they pay you right, but they will evaluate you. That is, see, hey, this guy, you know, he come late, you know, like many times a week, a thing like this. So they give you bad grade. They get you bad impression. People who cannot be punctual, you know, are not good, right? Because you cannot rely on them to do good things. So be punctual. That is, whenever you work for someone, if they say, oh, we have a meeting today at 8 o'clock, try to be before, a little bit before 8 o'clock. Because if you work, like, you know, me, I work with a lot of people, if you are not punctual, if you are late, like 1 minute or something like that, they look down on you right away. Whether you are like a president of the United States or something. But you see, the president of the United States, he never be late. He cannot be late, you see. Because, like, you know, in the time when I was a schoolboy, my teacher, you know, taught that the politesse, l'exactitude et la politesse du roi. That means that the exactitude, that means the exactness is the politeness of the king. That is the rule of the king. Only the kings, you know how to do it. So if you want to be king, I mean, well, if you want to be like a wealthy, good, things like this, you know, try to be punctual. That's very important. And that is first thing the Buddha teach to the servant, be punctual. Fulfilling duties. That is, you know, if they get some duty, the boss, you know, ask them to do something, try to do it completely. Not, you know, like the boss say, okay, sweep the floor. Yes, you can. Okay, go out. That's not good, right? So, fulfilling duties. Do not waste. Like, you know, say, oh, this is their money. So then, you know, I don't have to keep. You know. Oh, that's not good, right? So if, like, you know, the if you cook for someone, like you cook for someone, you go to Pizza Hut to work for them, for example, okay? And then they ask you, you know, to make some pizza. You put some dough and then you try to do it, and then you have some thing you just throw it in the trash, not good. You try to collect them and make another one, right? To save for them, do not waste. Respect and be cheerful. Of course, you know, if you work with someone, you know, who is cheerful, who is nice, you know, you want to work with them, right? Like, you know, if your friends, you know, the same thing. So if you have a boss and you are respectful of them and you are cheerful in your workplace, everyone wants to work with you and everyone will miss you. So, and do not bad mouth. Oh, do not bad mouth. You know, bad mouth? Bad mouth is like, oh, you see, this boss, he's not. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, and things like this. Okay, do not bad mouth. Do not say bad things about your boss, especially, see? Because why? Because he will learn sooner or later that you say something about him. Then he will not be pleased with that. Okay, and then he will not trust you. And then you understand all the consequence. He know it, and then he tell the other boss, this guy, no, he's not good. No, don't, I cannot trust him. So then, you know, later on, what will happen? You see? This is something in life we have to learn. So that is, these are the duty to of the boss to a servant, or to a servant to a, from a servant to a boss, whenever you bow to the nadir, that is to lower power. So these are all the duties to the families and relatives. Now to the people out of the family, we have two, the teachers and the teacher of the way. That is, you know, like the monk and the nuns, the ascetic, thing like that. Suppose, you know, we are not like Buddhists, because in the time, Sigalo, you know, was not Buddhist. Okay, he's not really a Brahmin, he's just a lay person. But the Brahmin or the ascetic means that the one, you know, who follow the way. That is like, you know, we say, like, you know, nowadays you have a priest or something like this, you respect him, like a monk. Because you remember the Buddha never tortures to disparage on someone. Even, you know, if he's a priest or someone, a minister, he follows, you know, something. He believes that is good. You might not agree with them, but then you cannot believe in them. You cannot say that, well, he's bad. He's not bad. He follows different direction. Okay? So you don't follow them, but you respect them. So, to the people out of the family, we have two. Whenever we bow to the south, we remember the east means the parents, right? And the children. The west means the husband and the wife. The north means the friends and relatives. The lower part mean the nadir, mean the servants and the boss. Now the south. The south mean the student, the teacher. Because you go to school, right? Now, no, in the time of the Buddha, there was no school. But there were some people to teach. That is, you know, like if you go to work, some people, you know, with a skill, they will teach people this skill. Or if they go out, you know, and learn some work, some letters, something like that, there were some people who teach them. That is the teacher. Now the student to the teacher, we have this five duties. Respect like parents, because whenever they teach you something, you try not to be respectful, to thank them like that. Because they, well, this is in India. The Buddha was one in Nepal, India. Not like in China. In China, you know, people respect the teachers more than the parents. But now we're not talking about Chinese people, we just talk about like in the time of the Buddha. What did the Buddha taught us? Respect the teacher like parents. That is, you know, if you go to school, of course, you know, there are bad teachers and good teachers, right? But then if you are lucky to have a good teacher, just respect them, okay? Don't bad mouth them, don't do things like this. Obedience. That is, you know, if the teacher asks you to do something, try to obey them. If you have question, try to raise the question right away. Don't just, you know, say, oh, I don't want to do it, or say, oh, and talk in the back. That's not good. Obey does not mean that you have, you know, to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, right away. You can in front of the class, but then, you know, you ask them, can I have a private meeting with you? And then you come and say, you told me to do something like this, and then I think like that. You can raise your voice nowadays, you can, but then, you know, don't raise in front of other people. Don't be like a wave raiser, you know, or don't try to like stir up things for nothing. But talk nicely. Obedience means that him when in need. That is, if he or she, you know, is your teacher. Of course, you know, they are very poor nowadays. I mean, not really poor, but you see, if you want to become a teacher, Nowadays, you know, you don't get big money, right? You understand that. So that is the reason why, you know, a lot of people don't want to become teacher. But teaching, you know, is good job and respectable profession. So help them when they need to. Because that is, nowadays, you know, they have insurance, they have, I told you, social security, things like this. But in the time of Buddha, if they don't teach, they don't get anything. So then, you know, they have to help them with need. Strive to study. That is, see, whenever you go to school, the teacher teach you something, try to do it. Don't just think that, oh, I have to, okay, she asked me to do that, I have to give some answer, that's it, okay, and then I wait. If I have enough grade, you know, I will graduate. No, this is not right. This is for your improvement. So strive to study. As long as you can study something, try to do it good. And keep in touch. That is, you know, especially in the time. Even now, they, you know, some kids, you know, whenever they get out of school, you know, I remember, some kids, you know, they hate their teacher. Do you? Yeah, some kids, you know, they hate their teacher. And in the time, you know, some teacher, at the end of the class, I mean of the session, like, you know, start of the vacation, they have to hide. Because the student, you know, will try to catch them and hit them, beat them up. Yes, there are kids like that, and there are teachers like that too. So then we see, the Buddha, what did the Buddha teach us? Start to study and keep in touch. Keep in touch means that, you know, after like a year or something like that, you send them a card or something. Hi teacher, how are you? Think like this. Now that you have alumni, right? After you graduate from your school, you try to get into the alumni. That is, you know, in the clans of the ancient student in the same school. You don't understand that? Okay, now I'm 60 years old, right? And I just, you know, went to some meeting, like last month, right? That was last month, with some of my old schoolmate. That was like, how many years? 41 years ago. That is when I graduated, 41 years. But I studied with them like 52 years ago. Most of them, for all the school class, you see? And then now, you know, they are this guy, some guy who come from Switzerland, some many from Canada, some from Vietnam, many of them from United States, one in France, from France and things like this. But then they have children, grandchildren. But then we still talk to each other. We keep in touch, you see. So then you guys, you know, try to do the same. You're still young, you don't understand much of this. But when you graduate, try to stay with your alumni. That is, you know, pay them like $20 a year, right? For the dues and things like this, due fee, but you become their friends. Then later on, whenever your school has a meeting, we can get in touch. You can have what they call nowadays, you know, networking. That is, you see, you have friends say, hey, how can you get into that school? They say, oh, my uncle now have this and this. Okay, can I meet with your uncle and things like this? That's good for you. Keep in touch. So keep in touch. Student to teacher. Because, you see, you'll be surprised, because the teacher know a lot of things. And they can help you a lot even after you graduate. Now, the duty is of the teacher to student. Why also? Be diligent. That is to say, the teacher must come, be also punctual, go to work, and then prepare the homework before. The teaching thing matters. He or she cannot go just come to class and then, okay, today we study about like history of America, right? Who's the first president? George Washington? Okay, now you go home, each of you, and try to make some research about Washington. Go home. Look. Oh, that's not good, right? So then, you know, you have to prepare and then teach them first. Now you try not to make them more curious and try to ask them, okay, now we only know about the Washington and the cherry tree, right? Have you heard about the cherry tree? So now we try to come home and try to find out if there was really a cherry tree. No, you don't know. Try to find out, okay, and then give me the answer. So then, you know, they try to go home. Oh, is it just an urban legend or something? Things like this, okay? So then, you know, you teach them, but then you arouse their curiosity, make them arouse about that. So be diligent. That is, you know, try to teach them the right. Try to teach them, you know, help students to thrive. That is, you know, the one, you know, who are slow or who are like bored, who are like sad because they Some people have like a family problem, things like this. You see, their parents, you know, hit them all the time, sometimes like that, right? So they don't like school or something like this. Teacher must stimulate them and make them, you know, feel happier at school. Give them a reason to go to school, help students to thrive and do the point. Like, you know, they say, like, this Washington, so who's Washington? Who are his parents? Does he really have a false play? Does he really have false play? Yes. He's one of the first presidents who had false play. And they was made with ivory, real ivory, elephant ivory. You don't know that? George Washington. He has false play. Things like this. Okay. But to the point, that is, you know, you want them to know he's first president of the United States, right? And things like this, to the point, teach them. Explain, you know, explain clearly theories. That is, you know, if there are some theory, you have to explain to them. Don't just, you know, say something because I don't know, okay? Truthfully, because some teachers don't even understand that. If the teacher don't understand that, they have a choice. Either say, I don't understand that, please. So then, you know, try to do, find it out yourself. Or he or she, you know, can dig it to understand, to still learn more, and then go back, you know, and teach them. So explain clearly theories. Clearly the theories. And aspire for students to be better. See, because nowadays, you know, we always know that the student will become better than the teacher, right? Everybody knows that the student must be better than the teacher. That is the reason for the life, right? Always know the next generation must be better than the previous generation. If you learn something, you're supposed to become better than the teacher. But you see, in the time that the teacher, some teacher don't want the student to become better than them. Especially whenever you go into university nowadays. Be careful. Just be aware. Don't feel bad about them, but be aware. That's the real life. That is, some people don't want you to become better than them. Because if you become better than them, they will become bad, right? And you can snatch their job. That's the truth of life. So, see, instead of them, you know, to become diligent, to strive, to study more, they try, you know, to build on other people. So that's not good. Aspire for students to be better. That is, you know, you teach them and then try to make them study more and become better than them. Okay? Because that the real success of a teacher, you know, is for students to become better than them. Now, whenever we bow to the upper part, to the zenith, That's the duties of a lay person to the ascetic. Ascetic is time in the monk. You see, because the monk or the Brahmin, you know, mean the one who leave the things in life. They leave the things in life and then they try to become like a soldier of the way. That is, you see, they leave their family so they can, you know, get detached from all the earthly things, right? So if I become like a monk, okay, suppose I am a monk, and then I say, people, give me money so I can be in a big temple, okay? Or I need a car, give me some money so I can buy a car, okay? Or something like this. And what do you think? Some people know, are very happy to say, oh, he's a monk. You're an ascetic, you're a Brahmin. Whenever I give you money, I must get some merit, right? So, okay, give you some money. It's up to you, right? But then that was not what the Buddha taught. The Buddha taught what? A lay person who have to do what? The good deeds. Good deeds mean that you do the good things only. That does not mean money. Don't equal no deeds to money. Deeds mean the things you do. The good deeds, like, you know, if you do, if you see like a bird, okay, fallen from a tree, and then quiver, you pick it up to see what happened. If you see like, oh, the bird, you know, just in a shiver, something like this, give the bird, you know, some water, probably, you know, some aspirin, because you don't know how to treat. Or if you have money, bring the bird to the
veterinarian.
Veterinarian. Okay. 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 So, Anima doctor. So going to the Anima doctor, that is good deed. Not only, you know, to do something nice word. Nice word means that, you know, if you, whenever you meet with monk or nun or ascetic, some priest or something like that, if you cannot say good thing about them, don't say it. If you can say, please say some nice word. If you don't want to say it, the nice word, don't say it. That's it. Good thoughts. Good thought means that, you know, if at least, you know, you think that, well, he's monk, he's nun. I mean, she's nun. He's monk or something like this. So they must do better than me. Okay, I didn't dare not to leave my house. I cannot do like this. So then probably, you know, they are better than me. Open house to them. That is big. Open house to them. Why? Because you see, remember, in the time ascetic or monks or nuns, they don't have a house. They don't have temple. Temple belong to the community. They are supposed to sleep under a tree. You understand? That's the rule of the Buddha, the law of the Buddha, the precepts of the Buddha. The monk or the nun is not supposed to possess anything. Only 3 pieces of cloth and 9 other things, including, you know, like a needle, like a small sieve, a bag, thing like this, and a piece of cloth to sleep on. They're not even supposed to visit their family anymore. That's the rule. But if they do, well, see, so that is the reason why you have to open house to them and to supply material needs, the 5 things. You see? Because they're not supposed to have anything. So you have to bring some food to them. Okay, open the house so they can sleep in your house if they need. Like, you know, after that, because according to the rule of the Buddha, no monk or nun can sleep at the same place 3 days in a row. That's the rule. So that is the reason why you see here, you have the duty of lay person to ascetic, you have to open house to them and to supply the material need. Now the duties of the ascetic to a lay person, that is a monk, nun to a lay person, first, you know, restrain him or her from evil. That is, you know, if you are like a lay person, you're not supposed, you know, to, okay, you're supposed, you know, to teach them. That is, you know, to the people, you know, not to do bad things. From evil means bad things. That is, you know, if they say, oh, monk, oh, you need money, right? You need money, I know. This casino, closed casino, good, good. I know how to do it. I know how to use the magnet to put in under it, so, you know, whenever you use this, one eye bandit, you know, thing like this, right? So then, well, that's not good. So let's rent him. The monk is not supposed to play. You're not supposed to play this. Okay, not good. Persuade to do good, of course, you know, the other things. And have a kind heart. That is good heart. Kind heart means good heart. And clarify the thought. Clarify the thought means that they are confused. They say, like when you say here, no, to open house to them. But then, you know, I see this monk, you know, has a bigger house than me. He has a bigger room than my house. So why should I do it? So you have to clarify the thought. You have to teach them, like, you know, well, then it's not supposed to be right, right? And point out the path. Point out the path, you know, means the way. The Buddha teaching a thing like that, to show them the way. That is point out the path. Okay, something, you know, the monk Thichen Hoa taught us about is miscellaneous. Like, you know, what are the we learn about the duties of a lay people. Okay, a lay person, whenever you come to the temple, what are we supposed to do? So the last one, you know, like some miscellaneous thing. First, you know, call the monk teacher. Sometimes, you know, hey you, something like this, not good, right? Yeah, you can do it. You can do it, but then that's not proper. Or, you know, sometimes, you know, you were with him. Like, you know, see, you have some friends. Now, you know, he's your friend at school. But later on, you know, he become monk. And when you meet with them, you have to call them teacher. Don't say, hey, you, guy. Hey, shorty. Long time no see you. Think like this. Oh, not good. Right? So you have to call them teacher. Leave the shoes and the hats outside of the hall, the big hall. That is the temple. Whenever you have the temple, you have different room, right? You have, like, you know, kitchen, you know, things like that, restroom. But the big hall is where the Buddha and the Bodhisattva lie. So whenever you get in, take off your hat, take off your shoes. two things. Nowadays, you think and wear socks. Nobody says anything about it, so then don't be afraid. Because some people in the time they say, oh, whenever I take off my shoes, you know, I can get dirty, you know, my feet, you know, we get infected with that and this. Okay, so wear some socks. Nobody say anything, wear some socks. But take off the hats. Because nowadays, you know, we don't have it anymore. But in the time, you know, we have some getting for two, right? And some guy, you know, keep on wearing the hat when he come in the temple. And that's very impolite. You see, very, very impolite. And they're supposed to take off their hat. Okay, any kind of hat. Take them off. Even, you know, whenever you get some, like a cap in the winter. See, some people know in the winter they wear some cap. They're supposed to take them off. So even the monks, you know, they're supposed to take them off. But some monks nowadays, you know, they start to wear some hats. They're different. So leave the shoes and hat outside the hall and bow into the earth. That is, we learn already, right? The 5 points, we have to bow to the earth. Don't just know like that. And respect the sutra. The sutra means the teaching of the Buddha. Nowadays, you know, we have the printed sutra. But in the time of the Buddha, everything was just not spoken, right? There was no written down, or very rare written down sutra. So, but in nowadays, you know, the sutra is that is the meaning, is the teaching of the Buddha. So we respect the teaching of the Buddha, first, you know, by not throw them on the floor. Some people nowadays, you know, we throw them on the floor, not good. Okay, so that is the reason why, you know, we have to have all these small things, you know, to pop them up, things like this. Try to respect them. Whenever you hold the sutra, try to hold in front of you. Not, you know, to put under your armpit, things like this. Especially if you don't use any deodorant. So, because you respect them, right? You respect the teaching of the Buddha. Even, you know, when you collect the sutra, because when you distribute the sutra and then you try to collect them, try to hold in front. Not just dangle like this, things like this. So, that's it. We have the six duties. Basically, you know, this was taught by the Buddha when he saw this young man, the Sigalo, bowing to the sixth direction. And the Buddha asked him, why do you do that? And Sigalo said that, I don't know. My father, when he was alive, you know, he taught me that I need to do it every day. So I just do it. And the Buddha said, okay, now I teach you why. So he said, yeah, sixth direction, right? When you bow to the east, that means that you bow to your parents or the parents to the children, right? Whenever you bow to the west, that means the husband to the wife or the wife to husband. Whenever you bow to the north, that means to the friends and relatives, right? Whenever you bow to the south, it's for the teacher or the teacher to the student. Whenever you bow to the upper part, to the zenith, that means the ascetic, the monk, nun, priest, things like this, and the priest to us. Whenever you bow to the south, to the lower part, to the nadir, that means the boss to the servant, or to the servant to the boss. Each one have a 5 duties. If you read the Sigalovada Sutta, we have it here. I print it out, but you can go to the web of the chuahaiduk.org and click on the sutra, or English sutra, and scroll down to the Sigalovada Sutta. And you can find it, Sigalovada Sutta. Okay, it's a little bit long because it belongs, see, in both Theravada or Mahayana, you have, see, this sutra. In Mahayana, we call them the good-born guy. Sutra of the good-born guy, King Tenzin, in the long agama. But in the Theravada, it belongs to the Digya Nikaya. Digya means long, the long Nikaya, the sutra number 31st. In the Theravada, we have the three, right? The long, the middle, and the short discourse. So the long discourse, one of them, the 31st, is the Sigalovada Sutta. Basically, no, they are the same. If you want to read it in English, no, we have it on our website. So these are the duties of the household dweller. Household dweller means that we live in the house. That is our name. A monk, ascetic, means the one who already left the house. Okay, conclusion. Buddhism is a way of life. So try to appeal ideas into a daily life. That is, you know, whenever we embrace Buddhism, that becomes a way of life to us. Of course, you know, we don't have to leave our house. We don't have to become monk or nuns, things like this. But we try to apply the ideas of Buddhism into our daily life. follow this, you know, and we will live a happier life. Mình hồi hướng. Thuyền đem công đức này hướng về khắp tất cả đệ tử và chúng sinh đều trọn thánh Phật đạo.